that site is a golden opportunity that we have been looking at for decades, literally decades.
I understand Montrealers that are maybe discouraged. I mean, the 1st of July is coming. We know it's going to be tough for a lot of households, and the housing crisis exists. It's there. With this great sandbox, we do have to think about infrastructure, transport, electricity, everything.
Also, you have to think about the infrastructure around it. I know the mayoress said something about development of Cavendish, right? But you know, as we all do, when you drive down to Gary, that one exit for Jean Talon, you know, it's not enough.
There's still a lot of questions. There are more questions than there are answers, and that's our job. But don't assume that 4 or 5 years were lost.
To see private sector involved today makes me comfortable this project will see through.
If I didn't believe this was going to give something, I wouldn't be here around the table.
Did you catch many of those voices? A lot of big, big names talking about the old Blue Bonnets site, the Hippodrome site, as there's finally, and I really mean it, sometimes people say finally and it's not appropriate, like you can say finally about anything, but this time it's appropriate. This is an appropriate finally when we hear news about what's happening there. You heard the voices there, Valerie Plante, Stephen Bronfman, Pierre Boivin, Pierre Fitzgibbon, among the voices you just heard there. With the update on the Blue Bonnets site, yesterday the city announced they'd be putting together in place a working group to begin creating what they're calling Montreal's next great district of the future. The group's going to be headed by Pierre Boivin and Jenny Bayek. It's set to enable the creation of a quote-unquote eco-district as early as 2025. The site has been closed since 2009. It was demolished in 2018. Nothing's happened. Let's go now to Alan D'Souza, official opposition spokesperson for finance on Ensemble Montréal and, of course, the borough mayor of Saint-Laurent. Hi, Alan. Welcome back to the program.
Hi, Elias. Thanks for having me on.
So, listen, I'm happy to see this news, but then I say to myself, you know, the site closed down in 2009 and we get a working group 14 years later. Still not fast enough. What's your take?
Well, I think the administration is big on promises and short on delivery. We've seen it with the famous Pink Line that was promised in 2017, and I don't know where it's at today. They were promised there would be less orange cones in Montreal, and we find that Montreal has got more orange cones per capita than probably any other place in the world. Mm-hmm. And today, you're at another committee that's being created. As I've said before on this show, Montreal is big on summits, big on committees, big on groupings, but short on delivery. And I think at the end of the day, I'm one of the people who feel that the Plante administration had them given, delivered to them on a silver platter in 2017, the transfer of the land. When they came into power, the land was the city's. And for the city to now abdicate their responsibility in saying that, oh, we don't know what the infrastructures are, we don't know what the transportation choices are, we don't know, it means that 6 years has gone by and nothing has been done. So I'm not just skeptical, I think that for the mayor to be able to go to the 2025 election and not being delivering the Pink Line, not delivering the orange cones, and not delivering the Hippodrome is going to be a huge, huge issue. In terms of credibility.
Alan, having said all that, you know, I do look at the names and the people that showed up yesterday, right? So when I see that Stephen Bronfman's there and Pierre Boivin and the economy minister, Pierre Fitzgibbon, is there, clearly there are people that are known for getting, quote unquote, getting things done. Isn't, you know, I mean, so I get, you know, slagging the current administration. You've got some evidence over them not being able to get things done. When you see the new people added to the mix, do you say, okay, something's different here?
Well, the new people are there, and I'm happy to see them, and I think we should always welcome any positive input to make this add. But the fact that it's being now put to the private sector to come up with a solution when it's really the city's responsibility, I'm asking, I mean, who should know the infrastructure better than the city? Who should know the design of the area than the city? Who should know what major installations, such as, you know, parks and schools and the planning for that, than the city? Who should know the transport issues to unplug this, and how do we connect it to Cavendish and so on and so forth, but the city?
But Alan, isn't that the reason why there's been so many delays on the project? Is because we haven't let people who know how to build houses. We've let government and elected officials just dilly-dally here and put roadblock after roadblock? Isn't it about time that we say, hey, developers, here's the ball, run with it?
I have no problem in the development community. And in fact, if Blue Valance is going to be developed, it's going to be with the private sector. So having the private sector input will be useful and will allow at least to be able to get rid of some of the huge requirements that the city has advanced, which has really prevented private sector development. You know well that the city went to tender hoping to get interest in this, and there was no response. So if it requires a Pierre Boivin, or it requires a Jenny Bake, or it requires one of these fine people to tell the city that you shouldn't be asking for this, or that's too much to be asking for, or you're insisting too much here, then let them hear it. But in the meantime, I'm saying that the city's own responsibilities cannot be delegated to the private sector.
Now, are you talking about, you know, this, and I keep hearing it from elected officials, there must be social housing. There must be, quote unquote, affordable housing. And they put all of these conditions, and they completely lose sight that this is supply and demand. What we need is supply. It doesn't matter what type of supply it is. Do you think that, you know, when you talk about what's gone wrong in this and trying to make decisions for developers, is that what you're getting at?
Well, I'm just saying that the city overloaded as to what the requirements they wanted for the site, and no one was willing to take the risk. No one in the private sector. And don't tell me that people in the private sector are not interested in development. We see them advancing projects elsewhere on the island of Montreal. But for all the reasons you can imagine, no one wanted to even dip their toe in the water on what should have been a very, very interesting proposition. So I'm saying that, yes, the private sector can be useful in perhaps bringing the city to some sense of reality, if that's what is needed. But I would have hoped that the city already had that sense of reality. Where were they for 6 years? I mean, let's go back one step. When I was there, when the Quebec government first expressed interest in doing it, and at that time the finance minister was Raymond Bachand, and his vision was that, yep, we will transfer this land, but the city can do a design contest, make this an exemplary development. Mm-hmm. From there to the transfer, the current administration has got the land. They're the only owner of the land. They could do whatever they want to make sure that it's the best developed site. And in 6 years, they've done squat.
Just one last.
That's from vision to reality, there's a gap, and the able to deliver has to be the only mark of success.
One last quick question here, Alan, and on the matter of it being an eco-district or an eco-quartier there, and that there will be no street parking in this 20 hectares. Well, there'll be 20 hectares of green space, and the actual land is a lot bigger than that, but no street parking. Do you think that's good? Do you think that is a vision that we should be going with a new district?
Well, I'm curious to see how this new committee is going to reconcile that with also other pieces in the same entente that the Quebec government gave, because the same entente required the city to dedicate monies to build Cavendish. And as we know, you're not going to be, it's not going to be horses and donkeys on Cavendish. There are going to be cars there.
And
as well as public transit, as well as bikes. So how do you integrate that with a community where they want no parking or no cars at all? And that's going to be the challenge, because both of these issues are part of the same land transfer agreement that the government of Quebec ceded the land to the city.
So can we say with certainty that if this gets developed, it's the promised land where they actually develop this site, the Blue Bonnet site, does that mean we'll also see the promised land of a completed Cavendish, the Cavendish extension?
Well, Cavendish is in that agreement. If you open that agreement, you'll find that the transfer of Cavendish and the requirement to dedicate monies to build Cavendish was one of the requirements that the government imposed on the transfer of the land. So clearly, for this, the city will, unless the government is willing to close their eyes, the city cannot walk away from that responsibility, because it's a responsibility under the land transfer agreement. And in fact, my recollection was that in the sharing of the sale of the land, the city and the government would share the amounts, half would go to the government, half would go to the city. But the city's half could well be enough to finance places like Cavendish.
I'm certainly hoping to see housing in a city that desperately needs housing. I hope to see some shovels in the ground and some building going on sooner than later. Alan, thanks so much for coming on.
Well, Elias, let's have this conversation in 3 years, and let's see where it's at.
No, I'm going to say 3 months, okay?
Three months. Well, let's write it down.
Yeah,
let's write it down, because this administration has shown a tremendous propensity to kick the ball down the road multiple times over.
That's Alan D'Souza, official opposition spokesperson for finance at Ensemble Montréal, and the borough mayor, of course, of Saint-Laurent.